the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Hines along with Vince Farrar. We're going to talk about an event that's upcoming that our station and all of our stations have been involved with for a number of years. That's Game On Against Cancer. It benefits the Thompson Cancer Survival Center. And to tell us more about that, we're joined by Danielle Hensley and Nicole Taylor. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Danielle, this is an event that's the 9th annual. It's going to be March the 6th from 6 to 10 p.m. at the Wakefield Corporation offices on Dutchtown Road. Tell us more about the Thompson Cancer Survival Center.
Yes, I am happy to. So Thompson Cares, Thompson Cancer Survival Center, provides treatment for cancer patients. And also this event goes toward Thompson Cares, which will help cancer patients either with their electrical bills, gas cards. This goes to fund all those needs that you might have, or for the families, either for long treatments or shorter treatments, either one. And while you're going through this event in your life. So it also provides education, clinical trials, and Thompson Cares distributed nearly $82,000 to help more than 700 patients with housing, transportation, insurance, medication, in treatment. So this is a huge fundraiser with Game On Against Cancer to help benefit the patients for Thompson Cancer Survival Center.
And Nicole, it's also a very fun event. Folks that come in, I think they pay an admission fee to get there, but then they also pay to compete against, quote, celebrities, and maybe cornhole, ping pong, pool, poker, whatever. There are a lot of different events for folks.
Yeah, absolutely. We've actually added a new thing for this year. We have a game truck coming in that is actually free for play. It's just a nice little bonus feature for everyone just coming in to enjoy it. And they also have karaoke. That was a big request last year that we bring that back. So bring your singing voices, bring your gamings. I think we're going to be doing some more classic games, a little faster play, so you can have a good time with that. And of course, we always have the fan favorites. We got Halloran signed up for a new event this year called for air hockey. So we're going to see how that goes. And I think you're up for table tennis this year, aren't you? So, yeah, it's going to be a great, great event. We're really looking forward to it. People get real competitive, but they have a blast doing it.
You realize karaoke is going to be pretty dangerous to some of the people in this building, right?
Hey, I think it's going to add some spice. I think it's going to be great.
Well, if you're in the VIP section, we had the VIP section last year. There's a bourbon tasting, so it might get really exciting.
Yeah, okay.
Even more so exciting. Yeah. With the
yeah, several people come to mind for that right out of the gate. But anytime you guys have a great advantage with this event that's been happening for years and years, because you can generate the revenue to help Thompson Cancer Survivor Center, but do it while having fun. And you can't always have an event like that where people have so much fun and it generates the revenue that you need. Talk about that aspect of it.
Right. I actually do business development for Johnson Architecture. So attending events is one of the things that I do. And this one, no offense to everybody else, this one is my favorite. I've been on the committee for 5 years because I wanted to volunteer, because I heard Gina Williams say, talk about it, and I said, I want to do that event. Yeah. That's what I want to help with. And so that's how I got started. And I also used to work on projects for Thompson Cancer. And then I became a patient of Thompson Cancer. So I'm a one-year survivor of breast cancer.
Good for you.
So I now know what all this goes toward, mm-hmm. as well. So, but this event it's casual. You can show up between 6 and 10, however you are. You don't have to dress up. You don't have to have a sit-down dinner. You have hors d'oeuvres, and all the games and celebrities, it's packed. And we have worked really hard this year on the silent auction, trying to get some really cool things for people to purchase, maybe at a deal even. Yeah. And I know Jimmy's been working really hard on getting some autographed items as well. So that's a lot of fun. But it is, we've moved it from Games and Things.
Yeah, it originally, we owed a huge debt to Games and Things who originated the event, and they grew it to a capacity that exceeded their store, which is why we moved to the Wakefield Corporation. Our other co-chair, Aaron Wakefield, graciously stepped up to say, here, take over our warehouse, because we literally had to grow into a giant warehouse to fit everyone. And it just, it's really spectacular. We bring in the full games, pool tables, a full-size shuffleboard, darts, everything that you had at the old location you have here, plus the added like VIP room, extra room for if anyone's been to the old one, you remember how tight it got in there with all the people trying to support the cause and have a good time while they're doing it. So it's really exciting. We're got a new floor plan. We got the new game truck. It's going
to
be really exciting.
We're trying to fit more and more in every year. It's still the same space, but we're trying.
Yeah.
Well, it's so much fun. Aaron Wakefield, a newer dad, Jim Wakefield, he passed away 4 years ago. A great guy, was one of the founding fathers of the Knoxville Open, the golf tournament. So, and it's neat that that Aaron's involved with this because her dad was just a wonderful person. If somebody wants to get involved, is there still the availability to buy tickets to the event?
Yes. Absolutely, yeah.
How so?
You can get them right up to the night of if you want to, but we'd love to sell them to you ahead of time.
Yeah,
GameOnAgainstCancer.org.
Yeah. Online tickets are available on GameOnAgainstCancer.org. They'll be open and probably until Thursday before the event. At that time, we'll turn off online sales, and you can do walk-up ticket purchase at the door. So please don't hesitate. Stop by whenever you get off work. If you need to go home, come on down. We'll be open till about 10 o'clock. But note, celebrity games and challenges end at 9, so get there a little early if you can.
Yes.
So if someone wants to challenge Jimmy Himes at table tennis, one, get there early because there's going to be a long line.
Yes.
And
yes.
you may need to have extra staff there to manage the line.
Yes.
You know? But that's something that they can figure out once they're there, right? Maybe, okay, while I'm waiting on Jimmy to get freed up, I can go challenge Will West at something else or something. That's how it works. Yes. It's wide open.
Absolutely.
Wide
open. And we have we're trying to give a nice selection so that there's some free play games along with the challenge games to give everyone the opportunity to be involved and have a really good time. Because what the great thing about when you get there that night, because of great sponsors like you guys and the rest of the community, they've done a lot of the heavy lifting for us as far as making our goal and making sure we're hitting those revenue dollars to support the foundation and our patients. So it's really just a celebration. It's just saying thank you so much for all you do. So absolutely come out. We've got plenty of things for you to do.
And a lot of the physicians, I've seen the physicians, nurse navigators, all of that come. They come as well. People from Thompson Cancer are there. They're participating. They're having fun as well. So it's a good, great group of diverse everybody all in one room.
So if I get beat really bad and I faint, there'll be a doctor that will revive me.
Yes. Yes.
I think we know a couple people that can take care of it.
We'll be ready.
Do you recommend your celebrities lose to the paying patrons so they will come back?
You know, I don't think so. They get really competitive. Like you've got a mix of people that are just there to have a good time, but you have some that just they want to win on their own merits.
Yes.
So yeah, absolutely. I'd say give them a challenge.
I think they'll come back and challenge you again.
There you go.
That won't be hard. All right. So GameOnAgainstCancer.org. That's where they can sign up. The event is going to be March the 6th, 6 to 10 p.m. at the Wakefield Corporation offices on Dutchtown Road. It's a lot of fun. I think I've been to all of them.
Oh, thank you.
A lot, but I've had a good time. And I think that it's a wonderful event for a great cause. Anything else you want to add?
No, just thank you. And we can't wait to see everyone. So please come on out.
And a lot of really good silent auction items, we hope, for folks. So.
And thanks for your all support, because that's a huge factor in this, too.
Well, almost everybody has been seeing cancer in their family or with a friend at some point. So it's a great organization, and we hope that folks will get behind it. Danielle and Nicole, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. And we do want to mention that we're going to give away a couple of VIP tickets. So two VIP tickets. If you will call 656-WINS, the fourth and fifth callers, 656-WINS, the fourth and fifth callers will win VIP tickets to Game On Against Cancer. You don't have to pick that up until March the 5th because the event is March 6th.
So call now.
Yep, so call now. We appreciate it. Thank you very much, and hopefully you'll have a successful event.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We look forward to seeing you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And when we come back, we will have more. If you want to join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. This is Sports Talk, FM 99.1, the sports animal.
From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting.
Here's to swimming with bow-legged women.
This is Sports Radio, WNML.
John Wilkerson will be calling Tennessee baseball tonight. They've got a three-game series at Round Rock, a really, really an entertaining three games they're going to be playing. Do want to mention, as far as our winners for the VIP tickets to Game On Against Cancer, congratulations to Chad and to Kevin. And also, when we gave away four tickets to see the Lady Vols this weekend against Vanderbilt, George was the winner of those four. Let's hear now from Rick Barnes. Had a chance to catch up with him at his press gathering yesterday, as Tennessee will be taking on Auburn on Saturday. Here comments from Coach Barnes.
Well, Coach, did you get to see the Auburn-Georgia game from last night? And aside from Anthony Edwards, what was Georgia maybe doing to kind of put the clamps on Auburn a little bit?
Well, obviously we watched that game, and you know, Georgia played well, not to take anything away from them, but we know Auburn's down a player too, but you know, welcome to that club. We've been there all year too, but it's just this time of year. I think it's college basketball, it's the SEC, it's everywhere where this time of year games are close. You go back and look at them from the start. It seems like everything comes down to a possession game in most situations.
Yeah. How different is Auburn without Okoro in there?
Well, they still have good players. I mean, there's no doubt they still do. And, I mean, they're different than they were a year ago, where they're not making normally as many threes as they made, where they're relying more on an inside game and mid-range game, and you know, they're capable, like any team, of having big shooting nights. But they've more of a, you know, inside-out team than they were a year ago, and they're a tough team to defend.
They've shot poorly from three-point range the last two games. Do you see defenses doing anything differently against Auburn?
No, I don't. I think, like I said, a year ago they made shots. I mean, one thing I know about that, I mean, you guys have watched us this year, and we talk a lot about the problems that Jordan Bowden has had this year. But we also know that his numbers aren't indicative of how good a shooter he is. And I'm sure that Bruce and other coaches might feel that way. And it's the open shots that, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, teams are going to guard at this level. They're going to try to defend players who they think can really make shots. But the other night in our scout report, we had a guy that was what we would consider a driver first. And so you have different closeouts. You know, some guys you're going to run off the line. Sometimes you're going to have a shorter closeout. Some hit and pop back. But after a guy makes one, you're not quite sure. After he makes two, the whole scout report goes out where we're going to play this guy because tonight he's got it going on. And I think that can happen anywhere in college basketball where a guy that maybe hasn't shot well can get going. And you've got to be able to adjust throughout the game.
Are you as concerned about their ability to drive the basketball as you are their threes?
Well, they've always done that. They do a very good job of getting into the gaps, you know, trying to get you into rotation. But they are really putting the ball into Wiley's hands a lot. You know, they're looking for ways to get him involved, and I'm sure that they'll do that against Saturday.
Auburn and LSU have been near the top of the league all year, but they've kind of struggled a little bit lately. Seems a lot of bubble teams in the league. Just what stands out about the SEC this year versus maybe previous seasons you've been here?
Again, I don't think it's any different than the fact that, you know, we had our league as a whole lost some key players and new guys come in. And you know, scheduling has a lot to do with, you know, how, you know, like we're getting into arguably, I can't imagine anybody's playing has a tougher finish than we do coming down the stretch. And that's why early when you feel like things are in your favor that you need to grab some, you don't get them, it makes it difficult. But I just think that this time of year, wins are hard to get. They are hard to get. I don't care who you're playing because everybody's gotten better. And even though some, like I think our guys still need to break through in some areas. And I think that's true of, I would think that Tom Crean thought last night that some things that he'd been looking for finally happened for him. And I think as coaches this time of year, we're all looking for that and hope that we've got some level of consistency.
You talked about the opportunities that await you at this kind of stretch to finish the season. Do you like having the schedule set up this way, or would you prefer all these tougher games being spread out a little more, or does it make any difference to you?
Well, it is what it is. So it is what it is right now, so we have to deal with it. You know, I think scheduling is tough when it's not a you know, home and home series every year in the way the league's set up. And I know everything's put into a computer. I do know that in terms of Tuesday games. I mean, there's so much that goes into a program like that. And some years you think it's, you know, it could be different this way, that way, but it is what it is. And we all go through times of our schedule where it's difficult. So I don't even look at it, think about it. It's just there, and let's go deal with it.
Coach, you're at the point now, like with Euros and Olivier, that you're kind of giving them a few minutes in the first half to see what they've got and decide what you're going to do the rest of the game. Tell what it looks like.
You know
like.
What? I'll tell you. Here's how it works. You go back to the game against Vanderbilt the other night. We start the game with John Fulkerson missing a wide-open layup. Then the very next play, Jordan Bowden misses a wide-open three. And when you miss layups early, it can take the wind out of your sail. It really can. And now, instead of us having a lead where we could have maybe – it could be a 8-4 lead. And we have these rotation patterns we want to go to. But instead of being 8-4, it's 4-4. And it's tough to put Urosh in the game when you're there or behind and expect him to do some things. That's why I was upset with our starters, because the fact that they didn't come out the way they needed to, it put us in a different light. And it's – Urosh didn't have November and December to play through mistakes. Because right now, and I'm not saying mistakes, the pressure that he's under to go in and perform really well. It's not fair to put him in that all the time, because you worry about it affecting for 2-3 games down the road. And so we need everybody to do their job. He's got to play. Going forward, he and Olivier, both of them have to help us. I mean, John Fulkerson needs rest. There's no question about it. But John Fulkerson's got to do his job from the very beginning, and as opposed to waiting to the halftime, where now he's got to play. He's got to produce. So it's a combination of a lot of things that happen throughout games. But to really answer your question, is we need Urosh, and I like to be able to let him play more and play through some mistakes or whatever you want to call it. But the fact is, you can't let that game get away from you in the first half.
Kind of on that same topic, Devontae seems like he's maybe gotten a little past that. Is that?
I think he has, but he didn't play the other night again because when he got a little bit too comfortable. He got out of his role just a little bit. And again, it starts. You can't let that thing snowball on you and get away from you, because it's hard to get it back. But I think he's done. He had 5 or 6 games where he played really well, and he took a quick three that, again, an air ball that wasn't even close. And it wasn't a good shot. It really wasn't. At that point in time. And so, but again, that's part of it. But he's got himself on the floor because he had done exactly what we need him to do. And again, he'll come back. I mean, he hasn't hurt our confidence, anything like that. It's just those other two post guys are in a much different situation.
We're getting off of that good start. I would imagine it's more of a premium on the road, like you are this Saturday.
It is. I mean, it's important in every game. And again, it's not. I talk about making shots. It's the energy. It's the effort that where we know that, hey, he's got it. Or he doesn't. I mean, we know these guys so well. We know their body languages. We can tell when they're locked in. Just like when we were at South Carolina, I heard one of the coaches say, man, I don't know if he's got it tonight. And I immediately stood up, and he wasn't even talking to me. I just heard it. And I said to E, hey, man, these guys are questioning whether you got it or not. But just like that, something happened. And I think sometimes players don't realize it, but he definitely took it to another level, and that's what you hope. But wherever you play, you've got to, at this time of year, it's hard to win, but you've got to try to do everything you can to get it going in your direction.
When it comes to closing out a game, is it just simply about playing smarter?
Well, I thought the other night we showed how immature we were, because think about it, it's been a long time since these guys have had a lead where and again, I thought they let down. I thought they thought the game was over. Santi was tired, and he threw a pass, and we had plenty of timeouts. Purposely with young group, I like to save timeouts for the end of the game, because I know that they're going to need them there more than any point in time. We had the timeouts. Jalen got trapped right here, did the worst thing you can do, put the ball over your head and try to throw the ball to the middle. And other than that, he had played really well. And then Eve, all he had to do was, I don't care if you got a lead or you don't in that situation, you know, when we're ahead, all he had to do was pick up the ball. And instead he was going down to try to dunk the ball, and he got it tipped from behind. And those are plays that, one, he hasn't been in that situation too much. And what I expect from that is that we're not going to make that mistake again. And what we have to clean up is the last two games in the last 4 minutes, we've turned the ball over too many times where they have been unforced, and that's what we've got to fix.
It seems like Auburn's been a tough matchup the past couple of years. Is there a common thread between?
No, they're good. I mean, they're a good team. They were Final Four team last year. They're good.
Comments from Rick Barnes, and yes, Auburn, Final Four team last year. They are good. Not as good as a year ago, although it is interesting. They started out, what, like 16-0? For a while, Auburn and San Diego State were the only two teams that were still undefeated.
Right.
And then Auburn is, of course, they've struggled in particular on the road, and they've lost two in a row at Missouri, at Georgia. All right, we just love to give things away, and we're going to do it again. So we've
Santa Himes here.
Yeah, also. Here we go. All right, this is about the Coors Light climb to a championship. This is two all-session passes to the SEC Men's Basketball Tournament in Nashville in March. You get $500 in spending money. The fifth caller is going to be qualified for those. Yesterday, Casey was qualifier. We'll try to get another qualifier. The fifth caller to 656 wins, 656 wins, qualifies for the Coors Light climb to a championship. When we come back, we'll have more. Sports Talk, WNML. Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes along with Vince Farrar. We do want to mention congratulations to Keith. He's one of our qualifiers for the Coors Light climb to a championship, two all-session tickets to the SEC Men's Tournament in Nashville, as well as $500 in spending money. So Keith joins Casey as qualifiers off of Sports Talk.
And Jimmy, just a quick final from Clearwater, Florida, that one of the tournaments where Tampa, where the Lady Vols are playing in. Lady Vols won game one earlier today over Florida International, but lost their second game to UCF 10-1.
Wow. Okay. They're really got a pitching shortage with Ashley Rogers out with a stress fracture. Don't know when she's going to come back. They've been really cautious about her returning. Callie Turner's been good on the mound. They've tried to use a couple of others. In fact, Kiki Malloy has tried some. And I saw a girl, Samantha's the first name. I don't remember the last name. But Bender, maybe. She has struggled a little bit when I've watched her. But we'll see. I think they're a little bit short in terms of pitching. All right, the Players Association folks of the NFL, they are going to be voting today on whether or not to accept the owner's proposal. Some interesting things in there. J.J. Watt has already given a hard no, as he tweeted out, to the proposal. Leonard Fournette, running back, disagrees with the 17 games. It would be 17 games, three preseason games. There are a number of things in there that could be beneficial, however. As I heard today, as ESPN was reporting, the minimum wage for a player in the NFL would go up $100,000 a year. For players that are only going to have 2 or 3 year careers, they might say, heck yeah. If you're making $20 million a year, that doesn't make a lot of difference. But so you got a lot of players that are in that minimum wage. So you think, well, maybe they'll go along with this. Now, it's a 10-year proposal, by the way. And it doesn't end. It ends after this year. They don't have to ratify or do anything before this year. Contract runs through next year, but they need 22 of 32 player reps to vote yes, and then it goes to the players, and a majority of the players are needed to vote this in. Now, one of the things they're talking about, seven playoff teams. So we touched on this a little bit yesterday, but if you had seven playoff teams this past year, San Francisco would have had a first-round bye for the NFC, and then you'd have had Green Bay against the Rams in a first-round game, New Orleans against Minnesota, Philadelphia against Seattle. In the AFC, Baltimore would have had the first-round bye. Kansas City would have played Pittsburgh. New England would have played Tennessee. The Bills against the Texans. Now, four of those matchups occurred anyway, the 3-6 and 4-5 matchups. By the way, in the NFC, there was only one team that had a winning record that did not make the playoffs. That was the Rams. There was no team with a winning record in the AFC that missed the playoffs. In fact, in the AFC, a 9-7 team made the conference championship game. So there were two 8-8 teams that did not make the playoffs, Dallas and the Bears. So we'll see where this thing goes. Do you think the players are going to agree to this?
Well, no, especially when you're just – the trade out is decreasing the preseason by just one game. They're not playing a lot in the preseason as it is. All that does is impact the owners. The owners make regular season money on those preseason games minus concessions, but in terms of what they charge. So that scam, isn't impacted. The players, like I said, they don't play full preseason games. You gotta knock out two, three to equal a regular season game, if even that. So, and remember, there a lot of teams scrimmage these days. They'll have other teams come in. They'll do some scrimmages. They can get a lot accomplished in those, to where I don't think the preseason is as critical. Now, if they were to expand the rosters, then yeah, you're going to have more evaluation. I get that.
Have you seen any proposal for expanding
rosters? I have not. And that's, to me, I'm surprised that that's not a bigger factor in this. And if you're the Players Association, why wouldn't you be pushing for more jobs? That would be my number one, versus just making the rich richer and just getting a bigger portion of the pie. You know, they're talking about getting up to from 47% to 48.5 or in that 48 range.
That's $5 billion over 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah, but how is that money divided?
It's to the players. I mean, each team is going to get a 1/32nd share of that.
Right, but I'm saying when that money gets redistributed and paid out, is that just to pay the higher paid players that are coming up for deals? Is that just where a lot of that money is going to go?
That's up to each individual club. There's no way to project that.
Yeah, but if there were larger rosters, I think then you have a better chance of redistributing that money, that pie that you're now bringing in for the players. That's what I'm saying. If I'm looking out for the best interest of all of them, that's what I would want, more jobs and having money get to some of those players.
The only thing I saw about that was the minimum wage is going up $100,000,
right,
for each of the however many players there are in the NFL.
And as far as the playoff goes, Jimmy, I think the one seed should be able to pick their opponent for the next round. Just kidding. I'm totally kidding. That's a shot on Major League Baseball's ridiculous playoff play.
There was something else. Off-season workouts are going to be reduced. I don't know by how much, that they said that they would have less off-season workouts and no game suspension for testing positive for marijuana. I don't know what the suspension, I don't know what the punishment will be, but there will not be a game suspension if you test positive. That's another thing that was offered up by the owners.
Interesting. I don't think that's going to be a big factor in what I think the 17.
It might be to Greg Robinson.
Wow.
How many pounds of marijuana did he have?
157, which he had in duffel bags that you could see out of the back of his, what was it, a Cherokee or a Jeep or whatever it was, but his SUV, and his big bags, just you can see him through the window of the back, just not very subtle, not very smart in any form or fashion. But I think the 17 games is the biggest hang up, and what's traded out in order to make that happen. That's, I think, the question.
Yeah, and I do wonder if it gets to the players, if the player reps ratify this. I do think there are a lot of folks that are making minimum wage that are going to say, hey, I'll take that extra $100,000. So that's going to be a real interesting vote. I was watching Jeff Saturday on ESPN this morning, who said he was a player rep for the Colts, and he said that you hear a lot of these arguments and debates, and he said a lot of the players will have their cell phone there as they're discussing this. They'll put it on audio where the wife can hear it too, so she can hear all the debates as well, and she can chime in on whether or not she thinks that's a good move for the family.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see where that one goes, but I think it's going to be a pretty close vote. I may be wrong about this, but the 17 games to me, I think, is that's the main obstacle, right?
I think so.
Other than that, there you wonder if the other incentives that they are offering from the owners will be enough for the players to say yes.
That's my thing. If the NFL is insistent on 17, and supposedly ESPN had a report that 17 game schedule wasn't as big a point of contention and negotiations as it's appeared to be. Now that's just one report, but if that is the big sticking point, if I'm the Players Association, my trade-off, I want something else back in return. I'm not just going to say, okay, we'll do 17 games. The bigger portion of the pie to me is not enough, because if your defense is the toll on the players' bodies, just throwing money at them should not be what's in the best interest of your players. So
wait a minute. It's $5 billion. You don't think players are driven by money?
Oh, I think players are driven by money, but if their defense is it's the toll on our body, then what's the trade-off for that?
$5
billion? Not for that defense. Now, I'm not saying that in the end that money won't be a factor to get them to agree to it, but I'm saying for that specific defense, to me, if you're going to have 17 games, they need to have either some sort of limitation on say players play 16 games, or
they'll never do that,
or you
forget that one,
or expand the roster so when there are opportunities, then you can give guys some more breaks and guys don't have to play as many snaps in games. A lot of starters have to play in blowouts in the NFL because they don't have enough players on the active roster.
See, I agree with expanding the roster, but you can't tell Drew Brees, okay, you're going to have to miss a game or Lamar Jackson or any other quarterback or any other great player. So I don't think that would be reasonable for them, but I do really like the idea of expanding the roster.
But that ties back into the toll on a player's body. That's what I'm saying.
Expanding
the roster. So that's something that you can defend what you're saying is the reason why you don't go along with it. But we know money can ultimately trump all of it.
I love it when people say, I made this decision, it wasn't about the money.
It's always
99% of the time, it's about the money.
Yeah.
So we'll see where that one goes. Anyway, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And again, the collective bargain agreement that they have is in place through this year. Mm-hmm. Although they did say if they reach a new agreement that the 7 playoff teams in each conference would be enacted this year. So
yeah, they're doing that somehow to where I don't know that that's connected necessarily to the CBA, to where that can't get done. There's some sort of loophole to where they can still enact that this year but not have it connected to
ratifying the entire agreement.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. Hey, when we come back, we'll have more. That's Vince Farrar. I'm Jimmy Himes. You're listening to Sports Talk 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Thanks for listening and making 99.1 The Sports Animal number one for sports conversation at work.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes with Vince Farrar. Want to hear now from Rae Burrell. She led the Lady Vols last night, 21 points. She had 19 in the second half. As she led a furious Tennessee rally late, wasn't good enough as they fall to Arkansas, 83-75. Here are post-game comments from Rae Burrell.
And we're joined by our Hulk Hogan player of the game, Rae Burrell. Here's her stat line. She was 8 of 13 from the floor, 1 of 2 from 3, 4 of 5 from the line, 9 rebounds, 21 points. And the way I had it calculated, let's see, 15 of those points in the fourth quarter. So another good outing. You just wait a little longer to score the basketball, didn't you?
Yeah. I just took a minute to get going, I guess.
Well, there was a lot of emphasis on defense in this basketball game because if you were going to have a chance to win, you had to play good man-to-man defense.
Right.
So you did that in the first half. How much better has your defense gotten?
I feel like it's gotten a lot better since the beginning of the season. I've just been really focusing on it in practice, just getting over screens and just stuff like that.
I was talking to Coach Kelly a few minutes ago, and it looked like in the first half when a couple of breaks didn't go our way, when a couple of calls didn't go our way, that this team got a little frustrated. Did you feel that out there?
Yeah, I feel like we did get a little frustrated, but I think we picked it up in the second half.
What was the difference in the first half and the second half? You got down by 16 early in the fourth quarter, and then you showed that Lady Vol fight after that, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just tried to dig deep and just keep fighting and had to pick each other up throughout and just kept fighting.
So you got, you got 3 games left? Is all that? Does it seem like it's time for the season to be over, the regular season?
No, it just went by so fast. It didn't seem like it at all.
You know, you always want to play your best basketball at tournament time. How important are these 3 games to get back on the winning track and start playing better basketball for the SEC.
Yeah, I think we need to start before the SEC with these three games and just working on what we need to work on and bettering and getting a few wins before the SEC tournament so we can get that, what is it called?
The bye. Oh, momentum.
Momentum. Momentum, yeah. That momentum going, yeah.
That's bad when I know what you're trying yeah. to say, when I can read
like,
your mind.
Yeah, like, I know that. I know the word.
So, it's going to, you know, you're going to take a miracle to get a top four finish in the SEC. But how do you get this team from top to bottom to go out and play with some of that Lady Vol pride these last three games?
I think it's just within ourselves and just mentally just being tough and having heart and just playing tough throughout the game and finishing it all 40 minutes, not 35, not 38, all 40 minutes.
All right. You getting a little more comfortable starting a basketball game now?
Yeah.
Instead of coming off the bench?
Mm-hmm. I think I am getting a little more comfortable.
All right. Good deal. Ray, thanks for your time.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. Good outing tonight. Tough
thanks.
Loss. Yeah. Arkansas wins 83-75.
That's Ray Burrell with Mickey Dearstone. And as we mentioned, Tennessee, they really need and should win their last three SEC games because Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, and Auburn are a combined 6-33 in SEC play. Any one of those games Tennessee loses would be, a dagger in their chances for making the NCAA tournament unless they make a significant run in the SEC tournament. So we will see. Right now, Tennessee would be seeded number 7 in the women's bracket. The men would be seeded 8. They're tied with A&M in the 7th spot, but A&M beat them head-to-head, so the men would be seeded 8 right now in the SEC tournament. Hey, when we come back, hey, we've talked about RPIs, we've talked about NCAA Net, we've talked about the AP poll. We'll find out what the real polls look like when Al Brown joins us. So we will find out then when we come back. This is Sports Talk, FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.